in Strasbourg, asked at a press conference the EU officials, EU stands for European Union, remember, why are you using the Tower of Babel as a motif? The official answer, this was, what they failed to complete 5,000 years ago, we in Europe will finish now. This is how they're thinking. What arrogance. I think God may have other ideas, you know? But this is what the men are trying to do who run Europe. This is the stars, which of course represent our flag, the flag of Europe, which I resolutely refuse to have anything to do with. They are the stars of Mary, Queen of Heaven. Of course, Queen of Heaven is Semiramis, comes straight out of Babel. So the evil spirit, the false religion that came out of Babel is still there, still with the Queen of Heaven, still the dominant religion in Europe in the form, of course, of the Roman Catholic Church. And so what we're doing, what we're seeing is, a sort of rerun of what they tried to do in Babel. Semiramis was the mother of Nimrod, who built Babel, of course. All the things that are happening in Europe commenced in 1957 at something called the Treaty of Rome, which again is an interesting title. It was held in Rome at the invitation of the Vatican. And then came something called the Common Market. Well, if you come to Europe, if you come to Britain, you'll see a lot of markets. Everybody in Europe loves a street market. We've got fruit and vegetable stalls there. You won't be allowed to sell bananas in pounds and ounces or you'll be arrested. But nevertheless, there's a lot of street. That's true. Someone wasn't put on trial. And they want to standardize the world, you see. Anyway, they have these street markets. So the idea of joining a common market sounded like good news to most British people. They thought, well, you know, we'll get cheap French wine and cheese and whatever, and we can sell our things to them. It'll be wonderful. We'll just trade with each other. So that's how it was sold to the British people. Exactly the same thing is being said in America, Mexico, and Canada. It's just about trade. If anyone says it's political and we're going to join these countries together, well, they just laugh. I mean, Bob told you today, they laugh at people like me and Bob who actually try and point the truth out. The truth is there to be found quite simply and easily, by the way. When the book of Revelation was written down by John on Patmos, the Roman Empire was living in luxury, spreading false religion, polluting the nations with idolatry and sin, and persecuting the church, just as the Catholic Church has done for many centuries. Evangelical Christianity has already been described in the European Union in debate as a cult. So we've got all the warning signs flashing there. The leading figures of the common market, then the EEC, and then the European Union, have all been Catholics. Tony Blair, of course, has recently converted to Catholicism. No doubt he'll become a saint at the touch of the Pope, you know. That's the only time he will, because he's not a true Christian, of course. So I was talking about the Roman Empire returning at conferences like this for some years. And then we came to a press conference last year when José Manuel Barroso, who was president of the European Commission, said, "Sometimes I like to compare the EU, the European Union, to the organization of an empire. We have a dimension of empire." This is how they think, you see. They're very arrogant people. We've got at the moment 27 countries who are full members of the European Union. Nearly 500 million citizens. Of course, we don't know how many illegal immigrants there are. Probably it's a lot. And this is how they see themselves, a union of peace, freedom, and solidarity. Every 9th of May, we're supposed to get out in the streets and dance around our maypoles and celebrate Europe Day, celebrating the building of a superstate, building Europe together, the European Union. I got this on one of my trips out to the European Union. We used to publish, among other things, a business newspaper, and once in a while I get a trip out. And in fact, I was there when they launched the euro and heard the debate. Quite interesting. This is outside the headquarters of the European Union in Brussels, Belgium, and they put up a tent, a circus tent, which is probably quite appropriate as they're a bunch of clowns, you know. So there they go. But again, this is something I talked about for years, and then they said it, and I thought, gotcha, you know. The exhibition spoke of the revived Roman Empire. This is the book of Daniel coming alive before your very eyes. It's absolutely astonishing. 2,500 years later, here it all is. It's true, you see. Bible prophecy always comes true, 100% accurately, exactly as predicted. No other holy book has this kind of thing, you know. That's why we know that the Bible is the Word of God, by the way. I'm sure you know all that. Anyway, this is what they said, again, with great arrogance and confidence inside. The Roman Empire returns. They said, not me, this is what they said, it will be renamed the Union once the European Union grows to 50 states. They want to move the headquarters of the UN to Europe. Good riddance, you probably say. Yeah, and but you still pay for it, of course. The EU will take over from America. That may well be what's about to happen with all this money crash, the crash of cash. They say this will be the European century. The EU will dominate the world via its enormous legal and moral reach, or immoral reach. So now you know, this is their plan. This is what they say they're going to do. And this is what the book of Daniel says. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we know that, and I won't go on because Noah read that this morning, but I love the book of Daniel, and it pays to actually study it in depth, because this tells you exactly what's happening. Of course, it dovetails into the book of Revelation, which sums up the prophecy in the Bible. But we live now in times when prophecy is coming true every day. I love the program on Southwest Radio Church called Bible in the News. And when I was a newspaper editor and became a Christian quite late in life, in my 30s, I suddenly saw everything, you know, the scales dropped from my eyes, and I thought, this is coming true, and no one's telling this story, which is why we actually put a chapter in our first book called The Greatest Story Never Told, because hardly anyone tells this story. Now, the Queen, our Queen, she abolished herself about 2 months ago, or rather, she abolished the monarchy. She signed something called the Lisbon Treaty. What that is the new EU constitution, which actually creates a super state. It abolishes the nation state in Europe, and it was sent to Rome once she signed it. Now that's signed off, it cannot be changed or altered. And this treaty comes into being somewhere next year, and it effectively creates a single country in Europe. Anyone who tells you otherwise hasn't read the facts, figures, and documents. And they deliberately made it very complicated, so most people didn't have a clue what was going on. A couple of years ago, they proposed to have a European constitution, which effectively, again, set up one country. And they put it to the vote in France. The French voted against it. They put it to the vote in the Netherlands. The Dutch voted against it. So they said, well, we can't do that. So they did the same thing, but called it something different. They didn't call it a constitution. They called it the Lisbon Treaty. 99% the same. One country was allowed a vote, the Irish, because you can't change the Irish constitution without putting it to the vote of the people. Of course, the people, fortunately, the Irish are not silly, even though their press, their media, as corrupt as ours is, as corrupt and untruthful as yours is, tried to make them say, well, it's a good thing, you sign it, it's jolly good. But the Irish saw through it and they rejected it, much to the politicians' dismay. So in theory, none of this could now happen. But of course, they're looking for ways around it, because the will of the people counts for nothing. Now, somewhere in this year, this new super state called the EU, the European Union, will come into being. The Irish will not be allowed to stand in the way. They've already been back to Ireland and said, well, you voted wrong. Now have the vote again and get it right this time. Once it's voted in, once it's actually signed and sealed, which it all but is already, there won't be any more votes. There'll be no more democratic opportunity to change anything, because unlike any other legislation in the history of the world, this treaty, this new EU constitution, is self-amending. And what that means is, anyone who's one of the big movers and shakers in Europe, all the people who run the thing from behind the scenes, can actually change it and put in what they want and alter it in any way whatsoever, and none of us can do a thing about it. Self-amending, that's what that means. So that's what we're looking forward to. The Queen, of course, has rather failed us, I'm afraid. A lot of people love the Queen, but she's been rather spineless in letting all this go through. She was the last chance we had to stop it. This is what the Archbishop of Canterbury, the head of the Church of England, who, by the way, is a Druid, this is what the Archbishop says when the Queen takes the coronation oath. Will you, to your utmost of your power, maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel? Will you, to the utmost of your power, maintain in the United Kingdom the Protestant Reformed religion established by law? Queen, I solemnly promised so to do. Unfortunately, she has not defended the faith. She's failed to do so. Britain is now multi-faith. If we had a crisis, if we had another war, The Queen could not call us to prayer because it would have to be a multi-faith service. And you know,